Hello, Kara.
Hey, Megan.
What you doing?
Oh, just trying to make a pillow for it over here on this couch.
Guys, we are recording remotely because I am on vacation in Florida in like my second favorite place in the world, St. Pete. Yes. I love it.
Is this the same place you swam with the manatees at one time?
Yes. Also, the very first day I got here, I put this in the Facebook group. The first day got here. The second we got to out there, a manatee swam right by us.
Oh, it said, hey, you're back.
I know. I was so happy. Manatees, as much as everybody who listens to this podcast regularly knows, I'm not a fan of things in the water.
Right.
Living creatures. Things in the water.
Anything in the water. Right. Yeah.
Or dead things. I don't want anything in the water.
No, dead things don't need to be in there either.
But manatees, I just love. Also, oh my gosh. Okay.
Yes.
By the way, real quick, this is the Witch's Magic Murder Mysteries podcast.
I'm Kara.
I'm Megan. We have not got to talk a lot lately, guys, so you're just like getting to hear us catch up about
Gosh, yeah. Also, it's going to sound like I have ghosts in the house because it's really loud when people just barely walk upstairs. So sorry.
It'll just add to the ambiance.
I love so it. It's great.
Creepy podcast.
Oh, anyway, finish with your story and then I'm going to tell about the ghost in the house.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Jeez. Okay. I'll try to make this one good. No, this is actually amazing. So I went paddle boarding yesterday.
Oh, yeah.
It was great. I loved it. I'm like, I now want to paddle board, which is not a thing I ever thought I'd say.
So you just stand on the board and you just use the long paddle to just get where you're going.
Yes.
You don't, are your feet in anything that like hold them in there or you're just like hoping your toes hold on?
You're just standing. Yeah.
Okay.
And it's so funny. So Lauren, for some reason, she just naturally has like good balance. I think that's why she was just sort of naturally good at figure skating.
Oh, yeah.
And she gets on the paddleboard and we're out there. All of a sudden, she's like, don't mind me, Mom. Just doing a little stretch. And she's over there doing yoga. She's doing like downward facing dog. What? She's doing the splits. And I'm like, why?
Okay.
She's like, do you think you're like free pose? I was like, shut up.
You're like, weebles wobble, but they don't fall down over here.
It was That's so how weird. I would
feel. That's how I would feel.
I don't know how she's my daughter. Okay. I'm getting off track. Here's the very important thing that everyone needs to know that I learned from the lady who took us paddleboarding.
Yes.
Do you know what the manatee's closest living relative is?
A cow.
An elephant.
An elephant? What? How?
I don't know. Some evolution, you know?
Yeah,
like they didn't directly evolve from elephants, but they have like a cousin somewhere.
Like ostriches or T-Rexes?
Probably. I imagine it's definitely an ostrich. You can just see it, right? Like elephants.
For sure. Ooh.
Manatees. And like at the top, there's definitely an ostrich.
Yeah. I like that.
It's my favorite fact.
That's so cute. You're going to tell. It's like, it should be on a Snapple bottle.
It should be. Okay. Tell me about your ghost.
Okay. So Tyler has a Tesla and you know how like you and I have always been like, we want to drive out to that cemetery in Louisville to see if we see that one ghost.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we were pulling out of the driveway and like the driveway goes behind the house. And that's where the garage is. So we're getting ready to pull out. And I was like, Tyler, why in the image is there a dirt bike with someone with a helmet on?
What?
I was like, what is this recognizing? And he just looked at me.
Like in the driveway?
In the driveway. Yeah. And there was nothing there. And I was like, what is happening? And he's like,
Wait. So tell people what Teslas do. Because I didn't know this until you mentioned it to me.
Okay. So I found on TikTok that they will like recognize people. And so I asked Tyler, I was like, well, you know, is this true? So we're driving around and it'll recognize road cones and it'll show up like on the side of your car, like wherever it is. So if there's like a person or like even a truck or whatever, it'll show you the shape of it next to you. So you know what's next to you.
Mm-hmm.
And so like it'll show a figure, like a shadow figure of a person.
So it's not supposed to be like a ghost hunting thing, but it's just an added perk.
Yeah, you just can use that for that. So he looked at me and he was like, what are you talking about? And I was like, seriously, why is this here? And he was like, Kara, a young boy when my mom was in middle school, his mom lived on this street when she was growing up. Young boy when he was in middle school pulled out of the street on his dirt bike and got hit by a water truck. And died. They lived in this house.
How awful. So,
yeah. After I found that out, we were talking about it and I kept trying to like Google his obituary and trying to find where he's buried, like trying to find all, you know me, mm-hmm. trying to find all these details, and I can't find anything on him. So I was like asking his mom all these questions and she's like, I knew him so well. His name's Steven. So Tyler jokingly the other day was like, hey, Steven, we're getting ready for bed and soap bottles in the bathroom start moving around.
Kara.
Megan. And so now he's just like, good night, Steve. And I'm like, no.
Yeah, you can't play around with this.
No.
So he didn't see it on the Tesla screen or whatever?
No. And I was like, what? Yeah, so he thought I was joking that I knew about the story. I did not. Anyways, you know how I did some research on a lady that poisoned people that just like killed them in hospitals. I found in that research another lady that poisoned people, but she didn't work in a hospital. These were lovers. People said she was attractive. I looked her pictures up and I was just like, huh.
Well, you know, everybody's got different tastes.
Yeah, not my taste, but okay. You know those things that says like she's a 10, but she, and then you could just put she poisons people with arsenic.
Yeah, she kills people.
Yeah, perfect. Okay, her name was Blanche Kaiser Taylor Moore. Blanche was born February 17th, 1933. Says she was a Tar Heel native.
Like North Carolina?
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, it says she was born to a Parker D. Kaiser, who was a mill worker. He was also an ordained Baptist minister and a womanizer. Isn't that all like an amazing combination?
I mean, listen.
Yeah.
I have a lot of opinions about that.
Yes. So he liked the alcohol a lot. So between his sermons, he would just drink lots of alcohol.
Oh my gosh.
And then poor little Blanche had a rough start as a teen because he would then start gambling and wouldn't be able to pay for his debts. And he'd be like, here, date my daughter. You can do what you want with her.
Oh my gosh. And he's a Baptist minister?
Yeah.
You know, so, he was just up in that pulpit every Sunday being like, I am
God's, God's chosen one. So in this article, it says, at least in part due to this, she was known to switch from quoting scripture to sexually explicit topics in the same breath.
Yeah. Uh-huh. I mean, gosh, can you imagine how messed up it would make you about religion if you had a dad who was that awful, who you also knew got up there every Sunday and pretended to be super Christian.
No. Yeah. Okay, so I'm going to jump ahead to September of 1966, but then I'm going to go back to 1952 because this part is pretty relevant to her dad. I mean, it is her dad. So she, you know, hated her dad, obviously, for doing what he did to her back in the day. Mm-hmm. So she was like, you know what? I'm going to rekindle my relationship with him. But when she got there, he started getting real sick. And she was like, oh gosh, I better stay here to nurse him back to health. But then he had a heart attack and died. I don't know, that heart attack started with him having violent stomach cramps, diarrhea, projectile vomiting, delirium.
Like a poisoning.
Yeah, but no. That's what heart attacks do to you, apparently, in 1966.
They've changed over time.
Yeah, they were like, no, that's nothing but a heart attack. Yeah. Okay, so going back to the 52. She marries in 1952 a James Taylor, not the musician. He was a veteran and a furniture restorer. They had two kids pretty quickly, actually. One in 1953, and then they waited a bit and had another in 1959.
Okay.
So jump ahead a couple years. She decided she was going to get a job at Kroger in 1954. She was a cashier, and she stayed there for a pretty long time. In 1959, when she was having her second kid, they promoted her to head cashier. Said it was the highest job available to a female employee at Kroger at the time. So
that's great.
Yeah. So while she was working there, she met a Raymond Reed. He was the manager of the store. And she was like, Raymond, I just can't not dance down these aisles with you to this Kroger music.
Who among us, Kara, has not danced down the aisles at Kroger?
Oh, often.
I mean, you and I have done it together.
I was going to say, you and I do this all the time. James Taylor, her husband, was just, you know, he liked to drink too while she was working there. And so she was like, you know, James, I need you to really become a Christian. I really need you to clean up your act. And then, so all of a sudden he does, he becomes a perfect husband. He becomes a great father. And he's just like, I don't want to do anything to displease you. But she on the side is still like, you know, Raymond Reed and I dancing down these aisles in Kroger's great. I know. So she's still with Raymond. But while she's still with James, James's mom, Isla, I don't know.
Isla, probably.
Isla, yeah, whatever it is. Whatever. Those aisles of Kroger. she became bedridden. And, you know, Blanche was just like, my gosh, I have to do my best to make this old lady as comfortable as she possibly can be. Just like I nursed my dad, I'm going to do the same for her. So then she dies, obviously. What else would happen?
Of course.
In November 25th, 1970. And doctors were just like, it's natural causes. She was an old lady. There's nothing wrong with her. Who needs to care about these stomach issues, the vomiting, the blue skin? Like, nobody needs to worry about this.
Was she her first one then?
This is in 1970. So, no.
Oh.
Dad was first and then her. So, Raymond Reed, Kroger guy.
Right.
Was like, you know what? I'm obsessed with you. I'm going to just abandon my wife and kids. I'm going to get a small apartment and I'm going to file for a divorce.
Raymond.
So she was like, you know what, Raymond? I'm going to cook you breakfast.
No, no, Raymond.
No, no, no. So Kroger employees, you know, small town talk. They were like, something's going on here. You know, Raymond did his part, got a divorce. Blanche was just like, I just can't do that right now.
Right. Because I have this husband.
Right. His mother just died. I had to take care of her. He's also sick with the flu. He's got swollen glands all of a sudden, diarrhea, sore throat, hair loss, bloody stool.
Oh, gosh.
Blood in his urine, painful blisters on his hands and feet. So I got to stay to take care of him.
Oh, no.
Then we'll see where this goes. James Taylor's hospitalized her husband. She started bringing him ice cream from home and just like visiting him in the hospital. So he showed flu symptoms September of 70. October 2nd, he dies like an hour after she brings him some ice cream.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So he leaves her the estate. She decides to buy a new home. And people were like, what?
Yeah.
You're like moving on pretty quick. And then she starts dating Raymond. Oh. And they're out in the open now. They started talking about marriage, but they just kept putting it off. Like, they didn't get engaged. She was just like, Raymond, you're just not enough for me. I need something better. Yeah.
Raymond has left his wife.
Exactly. She was like, Kevin Denton, you're the manager of this store. I'm just going to start flirting with you.
No.
So then that relationship went bad because Kevin was a bad egg. And so she decided that she was going to file a lawsuit against Kevin and Kroger in 1985. She charged sexual harassment. Kevin had to quit his job and Kroger settled out of court 2 years later for $275,000 at the time. So that was 1985, whatever $275 is worth now.
Ugh.
So she was just like, this is great and all. I just need more money.
Jeez.
Yes. January 23rd, 1985, a fire happened at her new home. And she claimed that a pervert set the blaze. And the firemen were like, sure, it was arson. So this weird man that's peeping Tom. Yeah, he set fire to your house. So she had fire insurance. She, guess what, Megan?
What?
Instead of buying a new home, she got a mobile home. Wow. And then a month later, that mobile home caught fire. She blamed said pervert again because he followed her to peep on her. And she got another insurance check from that.
Who is this insurance person who's just like, yeah, let's just keep paying it out?
Yeah, this sounds great. It's she's had a rough go at it, okay? So Easter
Sunday, you said she wasn't super hot either, so I'm just like,
Megan, to me, she wasn't, okay?
She's not your type. I got it.
Right, exactly. Okay, so Easter Sunday, 1985, Reverend Dwight Moore, 51-year-old divorcee, mm-hmm. was the pastor of Carolina United Church of Christ. Blanche was like, I'm going to meet this guy. Mm-hmm. So she, at the end of the service, was just like, you know, I need to be counseled. I'm just really struggling with my past. I just really need to start meeting with you. I just feel like you could solve all my problems. Mm-mm. So they started meeting for dinners, carrying mm-hmm. on, you know, regular conversation. Mm-hmm. And she starts talking to her friends and saying, I just think I'm going to marry me a preacher man in the next year or so. So
she's just like reliving her relationship with her dad over and over again, basically. Exactly. Right? I mean,
exactly. Yeah. So let's not forget about Raymond.
No, never.
No, Mr. Kroger.
Does he still have the flu?
Yeah, yeah. He's just like, at the time was like, I just love this woman, but mm-mm. she was just like, nope, this isn't it. She hid her relationship with Reverend Moore because of the lawsuit. She stated in the lawsuit, it completely alienated her towards men, and she has not been able to maintain any meaningful social contacts with the opposite sex.
Because of the lawsuit against Kroger?
Uh-huh. Like, is Kroger going to come back and be like, we need our money back? We see you out with this man.
Right.
So she told Reverend Moore one day, just in casual conversation, she was like, I have a really bad ant problem. Could you give me some arsenic? I know it for sure kills ants. So Raymond Reed in 1986 was diagnosed with a case of shingles and hospitalized April of that year. He struggled for 3 months with illnesses. Mm-hmm. And Blanche was like, I got a Reverend, I'll be back. I got to help this guy. He's real sick. And I need to help him with his will as well. I'm going to be added on as one of his beneficiaries. No big deal. Don't ask questions as to why.
Right.
But I do
get... Because I'm such a good person.
Right. And he's going to leave me one third of his estate. So his sons are just going to divide the rest. It's totally fine. Mm-hmm. So on a daily basis, she visited the hospital, brings him food, homemade pudding, milkshakes. And she's just like, the doctors and nurses were like, she's just the most loving caregiver ever. But then all of a sudden he starts declining and they move him to the ICU and he suffers from renal and respiratory failure and dies 3 days later.
Oh my gosh. He had
gained 60 pounds in retaining body fluids, bloating so severely that his skin began to rip.
Yeah. So his body was just shutting down.
Uh-huh. Yep.
Oh my God.
So she was just like grieving at his funeral, but she did get $30,000 from his estate. And then she took stuff out of his safe deposit box.
No.
Yeah. And
to fix her, to heal her pain.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
Right. So then her sons were like, we know that you and dad wanted to get married. We don't know about this other preacher man. So here's $45,797 from dad's life insurance policy that we'd like to share with you.
In addition to the $30,000?
Uh-huh.
Man.
So two house fires, the 200-something thousand from 275,000 from her first husband. I mean, she's sitting pretty easy.
Yeah, I mean, this is her career.
Yeah. So she mourned a little bit over him, and then she was like, I think, Reverend, it's time we tie the knot.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. He's like, yes, please. I let you go take care of this man in the hospital because you're the best caregiver ever. Mm-hmm. And let's do it. So they set the wedding date for August 23rd, 1987. But then she ended up having to have breast surgery. She had one breast surgically removed so it wouldn't spread cancer.
Oh.
So they were like, you know what, babe? Let's push it back to November 27th, 1988. All of a sudden, Reverend started getting all these weird illnesses.
Oh, no.
And he had to have surgery, two surgeries, to make it better. Then, on April 19th, 1989, they get married. They were like, you know what? We may have the money to honeymoon for weeks at a time, but we're not going to. We're going to have a honeymoon over a long weekend in New Jersey. Sounds amazing. We're from the Carolinas. Let's
romantic.
Let's go to New Jersey.
Hot. Yes.
Amazing. So they got back on a Monday, and by Wednesday, Reverend collapsed, and he said it was because he ate a bad chicken sandwich.
Man, she didn't waste any time.
Or it could have been the weird pastry he ate on the Cape May Ferry. Who knows? But they were like, we're not going to seek medical attention in New Jersey. We're going to get home. We're going to just wait a couple of days. So Blanche was like, I'm going to take you to Burlington for 2 days. I'm going to nurse you back to health for a little bit. And then on April 28th, he takes a turn for the worse and he's in the hospital. So Blanche is like, you know, the best I could do for you, babe, is bring you some homemade soup while you're in the hospital.
Oh, my gosh.
Uh-huh. And physicians had no clue what was wrong with him. So they're like, we're going to send you home because we don't have a cure for you.
And you have this sweet, sweet wife to take care of you. And look at her.
Exactly. Like, she is here doing the absolute best. We can't do anything for you but sit and watch her feed you these meals that look delicious. We wish we could share. But then when he got home, he was okay enough to eat another meal, but then he got worse after the meal. So, I don't know.
I mean, yeah. Who could guess, really?
Yeah. So, he retained 40 pounds of bodily fluids in 24 hours before she decided to take him back to the hospital. So, they pass him on to North Carolina Memorial. They were just like, we got to do some paperwork and some blood work.
You said 40 pounds of fluids in 24 hours, which doesn't seem possible.
I don't know. How does that? No.
I don't get that. But at the same time, I'm like, any large amount of fluids in such a short period of time when he's already just gotten out of the hospital, it's exactly. Like, yeah, something's wrong here.
Right.
You can't send him home.
No. So Blanche was like, you know what, Reverend's family, he's fine. They're just hospitalizing him to do some tests. He's gonna be okay. Obviously, they ordered some tox screens. His body contained 20 times the lethal dose of arsenic. It says quite literally enough to kill a moose.
Oh my God.
The hospital was like, guys, we gotta call the police. So then the police start digging in and they're like,
I guess until this point, nobody's been connecting the dots at all.
Right, exactly. So they're like, this is weird. But Reverend was just like, guys, I know what you're thinking. I know you think it's Blanche. She's brought me some treats and stuff. I've been with her and only her for this amount of time. But I really think it was either poison in my treats that I had on that ferry or the chicken sandwich I ate. Or it could be the pesticide in my stuff I was spraying in the garden. That's totally it. Yeah. It has to be that. And they were like,
listen, guys, just because she's the person who makes all the food that I eat and I get sicker after I eat.
Exactly.
It's definitely not her, though.
But don't bother her. She's stressed out. She's been through enough in her life. She's got a lot going on for her. So police were like, bud, we feel for you, but we got to go talk to her. She was like, I never took him in
what
any food. And they were like, okay, but what about Raymond Reed when he was sick? And she's like, I didn't do that. And they're
Raymond,
like,
well, who?
Yeah.
He's like, I don't know her.
My Kroger lover that I got all the money from, no, did not do that. So they were like, oh, okay, but we're gonna exhume his body. Okay, ma'am, goodbye. And they exhume his body on June 13th, and guess what? There's arsenic in it.
I am shocked.
And they were like,
shocked.
Oh, ma'am, who was your husband before Raymond? Oh, James Taylor. Okay, great. Let's go dig him up too. So then they dig him up and he's got arsenic. And then they were like, we're going to check for your father and your mother-in-law. And they did find small traces of arsenic, but not enough to like charge her in either of those cases. So
because the bodies are so decomposed, I guess.
Right, exactly. Yeah. But still, that's crazy that you can find that much arsenic in a dead body.
I feel so sorry for the minister right now because he was just defending her.
I know, and he's in the hospital
in the face
with,
of
like,
all this
much,
evidence.
How much he retained 40 pounds of body fluid. So he's just like in a hospital. Mm-hmm. So they are just like, Miss Blanche, we're going to arrest you for first degree murder. Okay. And this was on July 18th. And she's just like, huh?
No.
What?
But look at me. I'm so sweet and Christian.
Right. Exactly. Exactly. So the doctors at the Memorial Hospital were just like, we've done so many tests and for sure his issues are arsenic poisoning. Oh so God. Everybody was like, Reverend survived the largest dose of arsenic from which a victim had not died.
Like, oh, wow.
An insane amount.
So he doesn't die.
No.
Oh, that's amazing. Oh, yeah. That's also even sadder. So he has to.
I know.
I mean, to, like, I'm happy
with,
he
like,
lived.
All these
but
things, and he yeah. he loved her a lot. Even oh my God. Yeah.
I wonder. I mean, listen. This is just opinion and speculation.
Right,
but like,
exactly.
I just wonder about his relationship with his mother. Like, honey, why are you like this?
Yes.
She's clearly poisoning you. Why are you wanting this?
Yeah. Exactly. Mm. Oh, poor Bud. So it says the SBI got suspicious and when they found out that she had tried to get Dwight Moore's pension changed so she would be the principal beneficiary. They also knew that she lied about how much money she received from Raymond's estate. And she mentioned that both Dwight Moore and Raymond Reed felt depressed and probably been taking arsenic. And she's like, I had nothing to do with these.
Oh, no.
Yeah. So they start the trial October 21st, 1990. She denied everything, denied ever feeding them in the hospital, denied all these things. And the state had 53 witnesses who testified about her daily trips to the hospital with food.
Oh, my God.
Okay. So she was just like, I don't know what y'all talking about. She still kept denying it through all these trials, through all this stuff. So she's convicted on November 14th. On November 17th, the jury recommended the death penalty. Mm. January 18, 1991, the judge concurred with the jury and sentenced her to die by lethal injection. She has been in prison for the past X amount of years. She writes music, spends time writing poetry. She, in 2010, she and 11 other death row inmates in this county filed for a motion to convert their sentences to life imprisonment on the basis of the state's Racial Justice Act. It says that the issue was the racial composition of the juries. And when I Googled, where is Blanche today? Uh-huh. It says, at present, Blanche is the oldest woman at North Carolina's death row and is still awaiting her execution. She was never tried for the other murders as the police dropped the charges after her first death sentencing. She's presently being held in North Carolina Correctional Institute for Women in Raleigh, North Carolina.
I just had to look her up.
It says she has had some health issues in prison, too.
Her mugshot is...
Isn't it wild?
So scary.
I know.
But then, like, more recent pictures ever, and you're just like, oh my God, she looks like somebody's sweet little granny.
Exactly. Oh, Blanche.
Yeah.
It's like arsenic and old lace.
Yeah. Blanche Taylor Moore. Man.
Yep.
That woman. Okay, well.
Exactly.
Thanks.
That woman.
I think... Black Widow murders are so fascinating just because it's almost like they're so predictable. It's like the same
right.
thing over and over. And yet they keep happening. They've happened
okay,
all
yeah,
throughout
like,
history.
Why
like,
didn't anybody catch on to this?
I know. I guess it's so much easier to see like we are now when you stand back from it and you're looking
right.
back. But like
oh,
in the
yeah,
moment,
for sure.
you just think, no
yes.
way. That poor minister. I hope he has found a good woman now.
Oh my God. Poor guy.
He just needs to love somebody.
He lost all that body fluid, is feeling
sure
better, and has never eaten another whatever that meal is again in his life.
I'm sure he hasn't. How old is she now? That's another thing I was going to look at.
Oh, she was born in what, 33?
She is 89 right now, Kara.
Jesus, she's literally the oldest death row inmate.
Yeah, 89. That's so sad. She had this very long life and look how she's wasted it. Ugh.
Yeah.
That makes me so mad.
I hope she has so many ants in her cell.
She can just never get rid of.
Yeah.
Because they won't allow rat poison exactly. around her. Yeah. I bet you're right. I bet that's it.
That's her punishment. She has to see ants every day.
All right. Well, thanks for telling the story.
You're so welcome. I feel like there were so many like little stories added in our story this time.
Because we
just haven't talked.
I know. The summer is so different. Like, more different than I had anticipated as far as like...
Oh, I know. Same.
Travel schedules and kids getting older
and everything. I know. But I feel like once school starts back up, we will be like, oh my gosh, this is our same routine all the time.
Yeah. We're I get so to see you every week again.
Yeah. Yeah. It'll be great.
But you know, thank goodness for Anchor.
I know. Have you all heard about it?
You can record remotely. It's everything you need all in one place. All right. We love you guys
so much.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.